No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, we have Eastern Conference Finals talk. Ethan Skolnick is here, covers the Miami Heat and the NBA. And I know you have a very, very vested interest in this series.
Well, I did at one point.
I mean,
I grew up a Knicks fan, Brian. So, you know,
I just meant from an NBA coverage standpoint, which is what we're going to get into. I do think so. This is what I want to know. Main thing. What's your biggest takeaway from this series in terms of not just like, okay, then the Knicks are this and the Pacers are this, but from a larger perspective and what this signals about how to build a team in 2025 now, how to build a contender, because at this point we have to call them contenders in 2025.
I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is that the Pacers are kind of exceptional in their front office. So what we do a lot is we talk about models, right? Like how you build under this CBA, whether or not it's free agency or it's trades or, you know, it's undrafted free agents or it's hitting in the draft or it's tanking or it's playing from the middle. But the reality is that whatever it is you're going to do, you better be good at it. Like that's the single biggest thing. And the way that Indiana built, and people got mad at me for this tweet last night, when honestly I was just trolling. I'm sorry. I just was bored. this tweet about how Heat fans, Pacers have built by doing everything Heat fans don't want the Heat to do. And it is somewhat true because, of course, everybody comes into that with their own bias. So the usuals who just, you know, want the Heat to say, hey, give us Giannis, because we said so, we're nice, and we live in South Florida, which is basically what half of Heat Twitter wants. that I'm not going to be able to speak to those people. But what I was saying in general was,
that's me either.
You know, the Pacers built from the middle. They didn't tank. They were forced to trade Paul George. They were forced to, then they got Oladipo and Sabonis for him. Then they were forced to trade Oladipo, essentially, or part ways with Oladipo. And then they were forced at a certain, and then not forced, but then they made the decision. I shouldn't say forced. They made a decision to trade Sabonis when he'd already become an all-star because they saw that that was maxed out. And they wanted to get a younger guard. I'm not saying that the Heat shouldn't look at that. We've done episodes about trading Tyler at his peak and maybe getting somebody who's still on a rookie contract. Maybe it's an Ivy or somebody like that. Like we've discussed this. We've done episodes on that. So I was trolling a little bit, but what I was saying was what the majority of Heat fans want is not smart building through the middle or any of that kind of stuff. What the majority of them want is to say, "Hi, I'm Pat Riley. Rings." Beer,
rings, money, come back. Beach, you know,
right? I mean, it's Memorial Day. I'm at my pool. It's nice. Okay, yeah. I get the attraction of South Florida, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think the majority of Heat fans are realistic about some of this stuff, and so I guess what I'm talking in terms of building, the way the Knicks built and the Pacers built, I think what is consistent with the two of them is that they took some risk. Okay. The Knicks had a team that was competitive with Randall. They moved him and DiVincenzo, as you know, for Towns. Then they also moved, and obviously they moved the 5 picks for Bridges, which I would not have done, but they probably wouldn't do it again. But they did it. They took a chance. And the Pacers, of course, took a chance of making the trade for Sabonis for Haliburton. And then they also traded 3 picks basically for Siakam. So
I have them here. I have them here if we want to get into it. Cause like,
yeah,
if you look at the Knicks entire starting five, I guess not with last night because Mitchell Robinson started, but if you look at their entire starting five, all those guys were traded for essentially or acquired in free agency, like Jalen Brunson. Like Brunson was an acquisition. Towns we established was traded for. Josh Hart was traded for controversially because they gave up Cam Reddish. And like a pick and
second round fans, pick, right?
No, I think it was a first, but after
right. I thought it was some conditions in there, but you're right. I thought the Heat should have traded for Josh Hart and said so at the time. So I
remember.
I mean, it wasn't particularly controversial to me. I didn't think Cam Reddish could play, but you're right. Look, they made moves, and I think that's where Heat fans are throwing it back in my face because they're saying, well, they made moves. Well, the Heat made a move, too. They traded for Terry Rozier. not the best move.
You talked about the Pacers being forced to trade Oladipo. Like, the Heat were forced to trade Jimmy. We'll have to see how that turns out. But and going back to that, they also traded for Mikal Bridges. The famous 5 first round picks deal were also traded. It turned out to be like a bigger deal than that, but it was mainly those draft picks. And then like Bojan Bogdanović was part of the deal for salary purposes and what have you. But that was like the main crux of it. So these teams took risks. And the thing with Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo for Karl Anthony Towns, I said it at the time, one is incredibly risky, but one that the Knicks could afford to take. And two, they made the deal knowing, hey, this is probably it. Like this is the team. You know, there's not much else you could do unless now you're gonna flip one of the main guys. By the way, OG Anunoby also, that was another big one where it's like you took two young guys who were blossoming. I wouldn't call them rising stars, but it wouldn't shock me if RJ Barrett made an all-star game at some point. I know that sounds crazy right now, but he was actually playing well before, you know, injuries and then this year was just very uneasy for the Raptors. And then Emmanuel Quickly is a good player. He became a good player. I think his contract is very very healthy.
Yeah.
But two players and they got OG Anunoby with that. And it's like they made all these big deals after acquiring all the draft capital to do it. And I think that's the challenge is getting the draft capital because it feels like four teams have all the picks. Ben Goldberger says, "What up, Brian? Ethan, glad the Knicks stepped up last night. Glad this is gonna be a series after all." I agree with that. And as someone who's doing the watch parties at the Post YouTube channel for every Knicks playoff game. I will take the extra work gladly as long as the Knicks keep winning, though I don't think they're going to finish out this series, to be honest, but we'll see. Salas D says, the star hunting is not for us anymore. We just need to draft well enough to keep building our team. Free agency is a thing of the past. I don't know if free agency is a thing of the past, but free agency is not what it was 15 years ago.
Oh, hoarding for free agency is not the way hoarding to do it. You can find ways to get guys. But I think the point on the Knicks is, if you look at it, they drafted pretty well. Barrett was not a bad pick. Quickly was a good pick for where he was taken. Mm-hmm. That allows you to do other things. The thing they've been willing to do that the Heat have to this point not done, I don't know if it's not that they're not willing, but they've not done, is then if you draft a player who's a good player, be willing to move the player, right? Like that's the thing. See, that's where the Knicks traded quickly, right? Okay, look, they acquired Randall. Randall blossomed with them, okay? Became a fan favorite in the city. They drafted Barrett.
Free agent signing, by the way.
Free agent signing, correct. Yeah. They drafted Barrett. Okay, but it was not a ballyhooed free agent signing at the time. I mean, Randall.
No, had, it was you know, panned like, because it was the same summer as Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. That's correct.
Okay, and with the Lakers, of course, they had a bunch of young players that they moved off of, and then he played better with the Pelicans. But the point is, it wasn't celebrated. Okay, but it was a good free agent signing. Randall has his limitations, which you and I both know about. But the point is, it was a good free agent signing. Barrett, where they picked him. You could say he could have gone a little bit lower, but it wasn't a bad pick. Quickly, very good pick for where they took him. And so now you have pieces that you can move. And the thing is, they did move. Okay. And that's, I think, where Heat fans have some frustrations because it does seem at times like the Heat get a little too attached to their own players. And that was an undrafted free agent problem before. It seems like they corrected that by not chasing Vincent, by not even negotiating with Strus, even though, you know, Max is a good player and has turned out to be a good player elsewhere. Now with Caleb, they were kind of saved from themselves by a stupid agent, but like they've gotten a little better about that kind of thing. There's no other way to put it. I mean, sorry, he caused Caleb. And I look, I used to like the Caleb pizza at the at Mr. 01 down here. So now I got to order the Haywood Highsmith pizza. Look, that they've done a little bit of better job about that lately with those guys. But with the drafted guys, I mean, we may look back and say they should have moved Hawkins last summer. Now, did we know that Hawkins was going to crash and burn this year? No. Did I project that? No. But I think this will get into the point of Tyler, and that's what makes this such a hard decision, because Tyler has blossomed with them. Nobody can argue differently. Tyler Hero has gotten better every single year. He has, and this past year was by far his best year, and his numbers stack up with some of the best guards in the league. However, he's doing an enormous extension, okay, and it's clear he wants to get every penny. And so if that's the case, I do think you need to look around the league and see if you can sort of reconfigure your roster in a way that will allow you to build better later on. Do I think that they're going to ultimately move him this time? I don't. Okay. But I think that's where I think Heat fans are like, okay, if you have good players, you can't be unwilling to move them. When you don't have that many assets, whatever you have that's an asset has to be on the table. That part of it, I can relate to Heat fans. It doesn't mean that the deal was there. It just means I can relate to them. But not everybody can do what the Pacers did either. Like, Kevin Pritchard's really good at his job. He has been for a long time. I mean, most of those teams in that space. Look at how long Atlanta has been trying to get out of this.
I was literally going to point out Atlanta because they look like a team that's trying to build through the middle too, and they're struggling to do it.
Chicago shouldn't have to because they're a big market, but Reinsdorf's never acted like it. So, like, I don't – you know what I'm saying? So this building through the middle stuff is not easy. OKC made a decision. We're going to build from the bottom. Okay. Utah's going to build from the bottom. Okay. Detroit was going to build from the bottom. It took them forever, by the way. Like, the Heat fans – this is the thing about Heat fans. They're totally disingenuous. There is no way they would tolerate what Pistons fans were just put through. No way. And you cannot tell me that Detroit is a bad basketball market because it is not. Okay. I was there, obviously, for the Dwayne's Shaq run, trying to get through them. I was there for the big, you know, they're competitive. They've been a competitive franchise until this last like decade where they just were stuck in the mud forever. And they finally found the guy. Like, Cade is the guy. Okay. It took them forever to find the freaking guy. So I guess what it comes down to is, we can talk about all different kinds of ways to build, but are you good at that building part, and Indiana is unique. I they've done, they identify the absolute right person in Halliburton. And look, I didn't love the Siakam trade at the time. I thought it was okay.
I have it here in front of me, actually, because yeah, I wanted to get to the Indy part. But also, just real quick on Detroit and Orlando, the other important thing is, like, and they spent years trying to do it, Orlando a little bit more successfully. And this year, there's an argument to be made, like, could they have been in this round if they were healthy and at least had some offense? But they were banged up all year. And I think this year is the year that they can feel like, oh, they can go for it, so to speak. But with Orlando and Detroit, they also have had along the way, like, they acquired some draft capital. They have more draft capital. They've used it. They've started to use a little bit more money. I think we're going to see an increase of that now. Like, they haven't paid, like, a ton. Now they're going to start to, like, you saw Kentavious Caldwell-Pope last year go to Orlando, and that's a deal, like, you know, the jury's still out on, but that's still, at the very least, a contract they can move. So with Indy, with the Siakam trade, it was January of 2024. And I remember talking about Siakam at the time, being like, yo, he can actually swing, like, he can help push a team in the playoffs. And, you know, the Pacers did go to the conference finals last year, as much criticism as they received, but I feel like they're vindicated in their run so far, and they may end up going to the finals after this. The trade was Pascal Siakam for Bruce Brown, Kyra Lewis Jr., young player, Jordan Nwora, young player, a first-round pick, another first-round pick, and another first-round pick. So two first-round picks in 2024. One was Jacoby Walter. One was Isaiah Collier, who actually looks pretty good in Utah. And then a 2026 first-rounder. Obviously, we don't know who that's going to be yet. Toronto also received a trade exception conditional 2021 first round pick is least favorable of blah, 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 blah. So, like, whatever, like, multiple firsts. It took a few firsts. And then the Tyrese Halliburton deal, identifying the young star, which is a conversation that you've been having lately. It's like, all right, how do teams identify the young star who you can acquire? And when Tyrese Halliburton was going into the draft, one, a lot of people, nerd basketball Twitter, was high on him. I was high on him coming out of Iowa State, not because nerd basketball Twitter was, because I don't give a shit what they think half the time. But Tyrese Halliburton was really good in college. And you could see, like, oh, he can be, like, a legit point guard in, in the pros. And then once you pair him in Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox, it's like, I don't know if they're going to, like, Sacramento's going to have to make a decision at some point. And people thought that they would choose Halliburton, and they chose Fox, and they traded Halliburton with Buddy Hield and Tristan Thompson, who you forget was on the Kings, for Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, Domantas Sabonis. So Buddy Hield was in that deal as well. There was also a second round pick that became Jordan Walsh, Celtic. And there was a trade exception also. So it was a 3-for-3 deal, essentially, with a second round pick in there. But Halliburton and Sabonis were the headliners, but Buddy Hield, who's a good player, was also in that deal. Jeremy Lamb, who at a time was a good player, Justin Holiday, who's like a rotation guy. There's other pieces of that. And these organizations just, they just hit on their trades. They hit on their trades. They hit on enough draft picks to make some of these trades as well. Like, it's very, there are very thin margins that sort of outlines who can get to this point and who can't. Ben Goldberger, real quick, you said it about Chicago. Reinsdorf has openly stated he doesn't care about winning as long as people buy tickets. Just look at the Sox. That's, I would imagine, if you're a Chicago sports fan, that's got to be depressing. Mike Thomas, rock the mic, from the Five Reasons Discord, says,
appreciate Mike.
Off the floor. Detroit also added the right veteran players around Cade. Yes, Cade wasn't out there with Sadiq Bey and Killian Hayes anymore. And I think there's something to be said for that. And also, if Jaden Ivey were healthy, I think that series against the Knicks is even tighter than it was.
Yes.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah, and I see the other comment here from Salas D. Cade needs a hero. Magic do too. I mean, two of the two teams we talked about the most for hero were Orlando and Detroit.
And Greg will always bring up Indy too.
Well, yeah, and that's always a possibility, depending on where they go. But again, Detroit did some things. They added some players, and I was like, why are they progress stopping with Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. and all that? But reality is those guys helped them get through the season and took some of the burden off of their young players. And so, again, there are so many different ways to go about this. I think with the Heat, I think there is in this sort of inertia that people are frustrated by. But I also am saying don't necessarily think you want the alternative.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Because as you're going through it, what Detroit went through is not fun. Orlando, I think, did better with their picks, but you could argue Detroit passed them this year. Some of that was injury related, although actually the Magic played better without either Paolo or Franz at times than they did when they were both there. It's kind of then Suggs got hurt. Mm-hmm. I like their group, but they clearly miss a score. Like Tyler is absolutely a plus for them if they got him. No question. Like I think
and they have enough defense to hide him.
That's exactly right. So yeah. I think he would absolutely flourish in Orlando. And I do think that's one to watch potentially. But I guess getting back to the Heat and how you build a team, if you look at where they are right now, I think they have to make a sincere evaluation about their players that they've drafted and what is the reasonable upside and how long is it going to take to get there. And that's why we just did a podcast on Jovic, who I really, really like. Okay. But I don't know if all of these guys are going to pop. Okay. And if Jovic is going, and I know you like Jovic too, I don't know if he's going to pop in a situation where it doesn't seem like they can carve out a consistent role. Now it seems like if you're going to keep the team as it's currently constituted and Bam and Ware are going to start, whereas we thought maybe Nico might start, then Nico basically is your sixth man. Okay, are you going to empower him?
Or your three. That's the other thing.
Well, I think that's interesting. I don't think they'll go to it, honestly. Wasn't there one lineup we saw like one game and it was like, oh my God, that's really interesting. And then we never saw it again. The idea of Spo playing three guys that size in the starting lineup, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it. But I think you don't have to call Nico a point guard, but certainly he can handle some of those responsibilities, particularly in transition. That's the other thing is I'm watching Indiana. And this is why I do think that the coaching needs to step up a little bit. And I say that as a huge fan of Eric Spoelstra. Like, why is it that, like, the last, like, however many years since the Big Three, this team cannot run a freaking fast break? Like, what is that?
Even with
I'm watching Indiana finish last night without the ball touching the floor. We never see that from the Heat. Like, so, that's not just speed, quickness, athleticism. It's just IQ. Like, why are we not seeing them being able to convert on breaks where somehow their breaks, which are three on ones, end up becoming one on five step backs? And I'm not just saying when it's Rozier, although he did a lot of it. Like, it's just, I don't know.
It's
like,
also,
what is that?
It's also the decisiveness. Because when Josh Hart gets a rebound, he's pushing immediately. Like every time. It's not always going to be for a shot. Sometimes it's just going to be dribble penetration, kick out to a shooter. And a lot of times, like, he will actually get the assist on some of these as opposed to scoring. But other times, he'll just take it all the way to the rim and at a bare minimum, draw a foul. And he'll make a good decision. Like, it's the decisiveness also, even, like, on the Knicks side. And I think the conference finals, like, one other thing that I wanted to highlight, other than, like, all the team-building aspects, which I think are reasonable. And, look, Orlando, Detroit, like, they have flexibility. Atlanta has things that they're going to do because they're starting to replenish some draft capital, and they're going to have the ability to do so depending on what happens with Trae Young, although I think Trae Young just might be better off staying there and getting the extension. But the other thing is depth. And you saw this with the Knicks last night. They finally went nine deep because they knew, like, in order to play with the Pacers, who legitimately go 10 deep, you have to, you need depth to win. And in the modern NBA, especially, because we're out of the three stars era, and the CBA kind of limits that. Like, you saw it with Phoenix, that experiment died right there. Like, it's over. The three star shit is done. Unless you have, like, a third star who becomes one on a rookie contract, kind of like a quarterback who's on their rookie deal, like, that's the cheat code, so to speak.
Right.
Like, Amen Thompson becoming a guy for Houston, if they had two other guys, that would make sense.
It has to be a player on a rookie contract. You have to, and OKC is going to find this too. And that's why it's interesting to me when we talk about their window being so great. And yes, their picks will allow them to continually replenish or go after the stars. But also, this is going to get really expensive. And that owner has never shown that he will spend that. If he had, they would have won championships, because as much as I'm not a Harden guy, if he'd been the third option on that team for an extended period of time, they would have won a championship. Okay. It's when you trust Harden too much in playoff games that's a mess. But, like, if he had paid him the extra $3 million at that point, they've not shown that they're willing to do that. So if that's the case, once OKC has got to pay Chet, got to pay Jalen, got to pay, it's going to get really pricey. I love their two moves that they made this offseason, and Hartenstein and Caruso. They need to cash in now. You never know when you're getting back.
That's the thing.
Know when you're getting back. And so
if they don't win, I think they're going to have to. If they do, even so, like, to stay up there, they might have to. It's like, you can't just hoard all the draft picks for nothing. And just real quick, because I know you got to go with a few. This is the Knicks rotation yesterday. They actually went nine deep. Typically, it's seven, and then the eighth.
Well, you
guy
heard Kenny's best line. It was a good line. It's the best line Kenny's had in a long time.
What's he say?
Sims won't play nine in a baseball game.
OG Anunoby.
He did, but it was so funny. So Hart didn't start. He still played 34. I mean, again, you look at the minute distribution there, it's more consistent with what it should be. Now, the point that Tibbs backers will make, and I know Isola, I love Frank, but I know it's just like he'll go to – I mean, literally, like, I think Frank loves Tibbs more than he loves his own children. I know he loves his children because I know Frank pretty well. But, like, you're looking at, like, at Cleveland this year, and Cleveland – nobody played more than 31 minutes, right? And we were like, okay, they're really rested for the playoffs. Now, against the Heat team that just laid down and wasn't very good, okay. But then they got blown out by Indiana in that series. I know injuries contributed to it, but again, the minute distribution in the regular season was supposed to keep them from getting injuries, right? So if you're a Tibbs backer here, if you say, well, playing his guys 40-plus minutes during the regular season, having five of the top 8 minutes guys in the league or whatever – and people want to criticize that, people who back Tibbs would say, well, look, okay, they're still playing. Cleveland isn't. Cleveland didn't play anybody this year. Now, I think in individual games, okay, having guys who can change the tempo, change the pace, and not being hard-headed about a starting lineup that clearly does not work. I mean, the Knicks have been throwing this lineup out there with their five best players for like, what is it, like the last couple months, and it is not been a good lineup. I mean, it's a net rating was negative in the regular season. It's negative in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They seem to be better when they insert somebody else, whether it's Mitch to get rebounds or whether it's Deuce. I thought McBride, honestly, was their most important player in the second half. He had the three early fouls, but he changed the tempo. He was aggressive. He was really good. I hated the Shamet minutes because I just don't like him as a player. But I thought DeLon played pretty well too.
Shamet was okay. I honestly think Shamet just played because Deuce got into foul trouble. Otherwise, Tibbs might have gone eight deep, and maybe that goes different. DeLon Wright, I've been I've been calling for Tibbs to play him over campaign.
He with the Heat in short minutes. I think he's fine. He doesn't really screw up. He doesn't turn the ball over.
And
we he saw with the Heat last year. He can make an occasional three. I've always liked the line, but like they're look. We're looking at the way that they built. Okay.
Yes.
And they went kind of all in on this team, but they do have some flexibility in the offseason to change it. I think what we're seeing with this Knicks team is that starting five doesn't really work. It's not that they're not all good players. They are. But there's something about like just throwing all the wings at the wall. Like I get the premise. They were built to beat. And I said this, and that's why I thought they could beat Boston even before Tatum got hurt. I said it before the season, they were the biggest threat to Boston in the East. Now, it didn't look like in the regular season because they got swept by them, but they built a team of wings to defend Boston's wings, okay? Now they're in a series against Indiana where it's coming from everywhere, okay? It's just And so I think they've struggled with adapting that pace. The second half last night, when Towns started to be aggressive, when he started to get the ball out of the perimeter, go to the paint, make plays, they slowed the pace down. They got to the line a little bit. And they got Indiana out of sorts. And also some of it was when Halliburton was on the bench, which I thought was a key point there. McConnell had a really good first half, but not a good second half. I don't think this Knicks team is built to beat this Pacers team. I think this Pacers team is very unconventional. It's very difficult for teams to adapt to. We've seen the Heat struggle with it even when they had Jimmy. And I give Carlisle great credit for that. And I do think that the Pacers are going to win this series, even after last night. And I think there's going to be this whole – as we've talked about here, there's going to be this whole sort of, you know, thinking episode in the NBA of, okay, you build the Pacers way. And all I'm saying about that is you better be damn good at it. Mm-hmm. Like the Nembhard selection, the trade they made for Nesmith, where they basically got Nesmith for what, in a first for Brogdon. It's a great trade. Kevin Pritchard's just really good at operating in that space. Just think back to it. He got Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George when he had to trade Paul George.
And people thought that was too little. People thought that was too little at the time. They were like, Oladipo, and that's all you got? You didn't get a pick? I remember that. A couple things that you said before we get out of here that I want to touch on. So with this rotation, look at the Pacers also. Like the Pacers are going 10 deep every game. 10 deep, legitimately.
Yeah.
So this play eight, trust seven or whatever it is, like that. I don't think that really applies anymore, especially when you're playing against this team. And
he's played Bryant in the playoffs too. So he's actually played 11. Darius Walker is just sitting there. Okay.
This is where I was going to get to. So if you look at their minutes distribution, you have 10 guys last night, not including Thomas Bryant, because he saw in this series, Carlisle did, who I think is coaching better than everyone else in the NBA right now. Rick Carlisle saw early on Thomas Bryant in this series. It's just not his series. I need Tony Bradley. And he's been playing Tony Bradley, legitimately playing Tony Bradley. I hate when they give me the thumbs up on the restream shit. And they're playing Tony Bradley. They have Jairus Walker, who averaged about 10 minutes per game, but he hasn't played this series, but he played in the last couple. He's gone to 12 different dudes, basically. Yeah. Like, legitimately gone to them, not just like charity minutes, so to speak. And like, he's been flexible with how the rotations have been, bringing guys on at different times. I think the one mistake he's made in this series was leaving Tyrese Halliburton out for too long during that run, but otherwise, like, I think he's been great with using the challenges and things of that nature. And there was something else you mentioned that I wanted to get to that I'm kind of blanking on right now, but the point of it being, like, the rotations do matter, the depth does matter. And like, all the teams that have been going to the finals as of late, like, they could play 9, 10 guys if they wanted to. Like, even the Heat teams that went to the finals, like, they were deeper. They were deeper Heat teams, you know, in terms of like.
Well, don't you think, for example, don't you think Mathurin would play on the Heat right now?
Yeah. I think there would be Heat fans calling for him to start at the three.
Right. And I didn't think his minutes were good last night, but I'm saying he would play on the Heat right now. Toppin, who they took a risk on from the Knicks, he's given them something. I mean, his athleticism would be useful on the Heat bench. Nembhard is, and I'm seeing Mike's comment here about the extension he's going to get. Nembhard's going to end up being somebody's starting point guard.
Yeah.
The other point I wanted to make is maybe it's Brogdon. I think probably his upside is Malcolm Brogdon at his best. Maybe
say less decent. J Dub will get traded first. Jalen Williams. I don't know about that because if I'm OKC, like Jalen Williams looks a lot better to me in this series than Chet Holmgren does. But you know, we have to see how they finish against Minnesota. The other point of it is like, and we were reminded of this last year. Just because you're built to beat the best team in your conference doesn't mean you're going to beat every team in your conference. Last year, the Timberwolves built their team to beat Denver. They beat Denver in the semifinals, and it was like, whew, all right, got over the hump. Let's take care of Dallas. And then they go into the Dallas series, and they realize there's not a single person on this team that can guard Luka Doncic. And Dallas destroyed them. Five-game series. There's not a single player on this team who could guard him. Kyrie, like, a little bit more manageable. Going into the series, you're like, oh, they have people they could throw at them, but their best guy can also not just score but create all these corner three opportunities they were hitting against the Thunder and so on and so forth. So the Knicks were beat for Boston, and I still think in looking at the series, it's like, man, Boston really blew that one. Not that the Knicks didn't win it, but Boston really, like, really blew it. And then on top of that, if you look at the Knicks series, like, they could play Boston in a different way defensively because Boston is so three-point reliant, which plays into the Knicks' hands, and they smartly took advantage of it. Indiana's not as three-point reliant. They were only 20% from three yesterday, 5 of 25. But at the same time, they're not a team that's just going to stand around and shoot threes, so they're going to make the Knicks work more. Like, they're a different type of matchup, as are the Cavs, by the way, if the Knicks were to play the Cavs. I think
the Knicks would have an easier time with the Cavs than they have with Indiana. And I'll say this too. I think Indiana gets rolled by OKC in the final because I think OKC can play their pace. And so I think that's a 5-game series. Like I feel like Indiana, I think they would finally meet their match in that particular series. I just think the things that Indiana does well, OKC does better. I like a lot of what Carlisle has done with them defensively, the press and all that. You don't want to press OKC. I feel like that would blow up on them. It's just there's just too many athletes.
OKC will press you back. That's the thing.
Right. That's the thing. That's a bad matchup for them. Minnesota, I'd give them a better shot. I give Indiana a better shot. I don't really like their chances against OKC. So I guess the overall point, you know, that we kind of come back to here and talking at the beginning is, like, there are different ways to build. Like, I don't think that there's not one way in terms of asset management. There's not one way in terms of style. I think what Indiana has done is they've identified an identity, and then they've built to that identity, and they found pieces that fit, and they have a great connector in Halliburton. Going back to the Heat have no identity right now. None. Zilch. Okay. They do not have a defensive identity. Their defensive identity right now is let Bam effing fix it. Like, that's basically what their defensive identity is. That's it. And their offensive identity is, okay, can Tyler get away from the three people who are shading him and make the right decision? And down the stretch, those decisions are going to get worse. That's where they're at. Okay. And so, the Heat have to decide, like, before they decide on a move or what are they now? Like, they knew what they were with Jimmy, okay?
Or what do they want to be?
Well, what do they want to be? What can they be with the talent that they currently have and what they can acquire with their assets? With Jimmy, they kind of knew, like, all right, we're going to get you to the end of the game. Jimmy's going to come back with 6 to 8 minutes left. He's going to slow this shit down, all right? He's going to identify mismatches. He's going to get to the line. For all my criticisms of Jimmy, okay, and I do not think they should have paid him, and I think Golden State's going to regret it. I think they already are, although they're not admitting it publicly. All right. But for all my criticisms of him, the one thing that was clear was that dude knew how to finish. He did. He knew how to identify and finish, and I think that's what Tyler was talking about. It's not easy to do what Jimmy did on a consistent basis. They got to find another one. The right one was not 35 years old with a bad attitude, okay? They needed to get away from him, but finding the next is not going to be easy. And now I got to find my way to my daughter before she drowns in the pool.
Last question, is the right one 37 years old with a bad Achilles?
Probably not, but I need the podcast downloads. Anyway.
Follow Ethan, Five Reasons Sports.
More hair than me. More hair than me.
Five on the Floor podcast. Subscribe. Even though the Heat are eliminated, they're doing episodes every day. And I've been on a couple.
Every day, like twice a day.
Twice a day. Can I pronounce this? Mavrsky.
It's DeRozan.
Yeah.
For $25 million, I don't know.
Ugh, that's a tough one. And Salas D, I agree. Like, they had a defensive identity. I think with Bam, you should just lean defense, especially with Bam, Davion, where you just have to figure out the parts around it. But, you know, we'll see. Enjoy the rest of these conference finals. Watch alongs on New York Post Sports YouTube. Ethan, thank you for joining. And we are getting out of here. Talk to you very soon.